Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
A fun ride, follow along, watch as we slide. Paranormal just hit the lights, goosebumps all through the night. Mix in just a little bit of twang, that girl sure can't do a thing. Together hillbillies go insane, laugh so hard it'll hurt your brain. Podcast you won't ever change, these two here, they got the recipe. Sat on back and listen in to some of our darkest mysteries, eh?
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories, and now here's your host, Jerry and Tracy Pauly. And their dog Ninja.
Greetings, guys and ghouls, and welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. Before we start tonight's show, please have a listen to this promo of a podcast that we think is to die for.
Are you afraid of what goes bump in the night?
Have you or your friends ever pondered a conspiracy?
Do you want to know more about the unknown?
If so, then put on your tinfoil hat, sit down, and pick up your computer, tablet, or phone. Go to iTunes or YouTube and search for Secret Transmission Podcast and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
Follow us on Twitter for updates on shows.
At Secret Trans Pod. That's SecretTransPod.
Or you can email us suggestions
at secrettransmission@hotmail.com. That's SecretTransmission@hotmail.com.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 81 of Hillbilly Horror Stories. I'm Jerry.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Okay, I think you're supposed to say, I'm Tracy there.
Oh man.
All right, let's try that again. I'm Jerry.
Oh my God, I'm Tracy. Sorry guys.
We have had a really fun weekend.
We have.
But we're also running on fumes because we've had very little sleep, lots of work, and lots of fun. So we actually had Jackie Getz and her friend Wendy, and I'm not going to try to pronounce her last name because I'm going to butcher it. But they came down from Wisconsin, so they drove 8 hours to hang out with us for a while.
I know, that just blows my mind.
And we tried to make the most of it. So we did. They had them over to our house for a little home-cooked dinner, and then we went to
Bobby Mackey's.
We went to Bobby Mackey's last night and spent some time about an hour and 20 minutes away from us or so. Did some. They went to a German restaurant, had a little girls' day out. I met up with them at Bobby Mackey's. We did a tour. We got to meet Bobby Mackey. He did a little audio for us that we're going to throw on here a little bit.
I know. He is so sweet.
A little bit later.
He's so nice.
And on our group page and Facebook page, I actually posted some video of the tour where we were Mark, our tour guide, who was awesome.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was talking about the haunted well, or the, you know, the what do they call it, the whole way to hell.
What is it?
I said the whole way to hell. No, it's actually supposed to be a gateway to hell. And
there was a gateway to heaven, or there was a gateway to hell.
There was a stairway to heaven.
Oh, stairway to heaven and a gateway to hell.
But anyway, long and short of it is, he told it a lot better than we do.
Oh, God. So seriously.
He was telling the story, so I got to film some of that and took some film of the well and stuff. So that's on our Facebook page and our group page. So,
man, I'm telling you, it is creepy as crap down there.
It most certainly is. And we had some cool stuff. Like when we started, there's a room that they call the Room of Faces. And when you go in there, it's like concrete walls, but there's all these images that look, you know, it's just darker spots, lighter spots. But some of them look like faces.
They do. And it's animals. I mean, man, that's the coolest thing there, I thought.
And Jackie's a vegetarian, so she didn't see animals. She saw a lot of vegetables. She said, that looks just like a carrot, and that one looks like a cucumber. And I'm like, no, that's nowhere near. But no, there's a little room in before you get to that room. It's like a connector room. So you got a big room that we told some stories in, and then there's a little room you walk into, and then you walk into this room of faces. And that little middle room just felt extremely weird. And the young ladies that we were with kept talking about how, you know, they're really sensitive, so they kept picking up on things. So they kept taking all these pictures, and Wendy, who was with us, her picture, she kept trying to take pictures, and it wouldn't take. She kept hitting the button, and it wouldn't take the picture. And then we got into the Room of Faces, and it all of a sudden would work. So she went back in and took a bunch of pictures, and we were looking at them. It had orbs and all that stuff. And then this morning when we got up, none of her pictures were on her phone.
That's the craziest thing. She wasn't the only one. There was another young lady in there that couldn't get hers to take pictures either.
Yeah, and Jackie took pictures in that room, and hers wouldn't on the phone this morning either. And it was just that room.
Yeah.
So, what? Yeah, it's a really cool, really cool place.
It is. It's a very cool place. And I mean, literally cool. Like, I was freezing, but...
Yeah, it was cold because we were in basically a basement and outside, and it was raining and snowing and... basically 28 degrees outside. So, yeah, it was a little chilly. But I was the only one that was practically dressed. There was women out there that took the tour that were in just like, you know, a really sheer shirt with no sleeves. And I'm like,
duh.
Probably should have wore something a little different to the tour.
That's what they get.
So, real quick, just want to say a huge thank you to Jackie and Wendy for coming down. I mean, like Tracy said, I can't believe somebody would actually want to drive 8 hours to just spend the weekend with us.
We had a blast.
And she did that for her birthday, so we got her a little birthday cake and got her a card. And it was they were fun to hang out with.
Sure was, man. It was a blast. I'll tell you what.
Real quick, I want to say a happy birthday to my daughter, Amber, who's 25
happy
today.
Happy birthday, Amber Bamba.
And I also want to say a happy birthday to Julie Gilder. She's one of our listeners over in England. She's... if not the biggest fan we got, she's right there. I mean, she's an absolute sweetheart.
She is. Happy birthday, sweetheart. We love you.
And I told her I wanted to get her a special birthday over there. That keeps me from having to buy a gift. not really. But
of course not.
At the same time, there's no gift on the way, so don't take that as there's a gift coming.
Aw. we send our love.
We do. We send our love. And if shipping wasn't so high to England, there might be something else. But right now, love's costing us $7 to ship.
What is wrong with you?
So we want to start off, as we usually do, saying a thank you to all of our servicemen all over the world, no matter what country you represent, all of your firemen, firefighters, ambulance drivers. You guys mean the world to everybody out there. We would not be able to live our life the way we do without you guys. So thank you.
We love you guys. God bless every one of you.
iTunes reviews. We had 15 this week.
Oh, my Lord.
Absolutely. So let's jump into them. Sarah Taramy, Lindsay 1989, Smashly 11, Marshalled, DRP 450, Jess and Goobs, Postman Rings Twice, thank you for your horrible review and saying Tracy shouldn't be on the show, Sarah Without an H, Stephen XM, Smithy O. Height, Mealers, US Rower 75, Joey SP, Amby, and Babbitt 9172.
You guys, that is amazing. I just kept looking and I'm like, oh my God, every day we got a new review. Woohoo!
Yeah,
I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
But we also had some new Patreon supporters.
Oh, yes. Thank you guys. We appreciate
that. That keeps climbing. Thank you so much for everything you do. I'm going to probably butcher their last name, but I'm going to try. Robin Van Duerson.
That sounds right.
Teresa Cox. Sarah Hernandez. I like how you think it sounds right when you have no clue.
I'm looking at it upside down, and I think it looks perfect. Thank you, guys. You are amazing. And we really appreciate you all so much. Thank you for taking your time and money and all that fun stuff listening to us. So we love you guys.
Keep spreading the word. Keep the iTunes reviews up, because that really helps us. Like I said, we completely understand that not everybody can donate to the show. Financial times are tough for a lot of people. And, you know, we appreciate those who do. If you can't, if you can at least leave a review, that helps us tremendously. So
it sure does. And I love them. Yep. I'm like supposed to be working and I'm actually like reading them.
Yeah. And I'm supposed to be working and I'm actually working. So.
Oh, we'll see. I got a better job than you do.
Yes, you do. But somehow or another, we were able to put out a very cool Patreon show that a lot of people have enjoyed. And I don't even remember what it was on now. What was it on? Do you remember?
Yes.
That's pretty sad.
The stupid guy.
What stupid guy?
The guy that was...
Oh, yeah, the Moonlight Murders. We did the Texarkana Moonlight Murders. That came out on, what, Tuesday? Thursday? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It came out the 15th, day after Valentine's Day, so it came out Thursday. But...
I still don't like him.
Yeah,
he... It's been a week. I don't like him.
And you don't even know for sure who it is. How do you not even know who you like?
Well, I don't like none of these people. No, I'm just kidding.
But we came up with a couple of cool stories tonight. You know, every once in a while, I love to dig into the stories that not everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
One of these stories is a little more popular than the other, but it's still a vaguely unknown story. And that's the one we're going to start with. It's a little bit shorter story, but I want to start with that one.
Okay.
Did you have anything you wanted to add?
Well,
before we jump into this?
I don't know. Now you caught me on...
I'll take that as a no. Oh, also remember that later in the show... We have the contest that Hillbilly Horror Show is running. And remember, we played part of it last week. You had to answer the question of what the number one rule of the trailer was. We actually had somebody who's already gotten that right. And the contest is going to end after people... So, yeah, he the gentleman already knew. He answered on Twitter.
Oh, cool.
So we're going to play that a little bit later, and then you can... You're going to play it in full, so you actually have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then all you got to do is respond on Twitter. I will retweet it and send it over to the guys at Hillbilly Horror Show. They're going to pick a winner, and that winner will get Bo from Hillbilly Horror Show. You've heard him call in a bunch of times. You will get him to actually do your personal voice message.
That's
so when
awesome.
Somebody calls in and gets your voicemail, they will get Bo doing a personalized message for you. So that'd be pretty cool.
And that's going to be very cool. We also have Jackie did a little sit-in with us.
Absolutely. Jackie and Wendy, when they came in, we sat them down and actually talked a little bit. Wendy shared some of her paranormal stories,
mm-hmm.
and we had some fun since we had them in person. Jackie's been on the personal stories episodes that mm-hmm. we do for Patreon, so she's actually been on there twice.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of cool to sit down and talk to both of them and have a little fun. And we're going to put that at the end of the episode so you can kind of tune in and just have some fun with us.
Yeah.
It'd be like you was right here. So before we jump into this story, I wanted to play that little clip from Bobby Mackey real quick.
Okay.
Hey guys, it's Jerry with Hillbilly Horror Stories, and I'm actually sitting with a legend in the paranormal world, Mr. Bobby Mackey, who is the owner of Bobby Mackey's Music World, the most haunted nightclub in the United States. Bobby, can you say a big hi to all the fans out there that absolutely love you in Hillbilly Horrorland?
Hey folks, I'm Bobby Mackey here in Wilder, Kentucky, and we want to send out a big hello to all of our paranormal fans out there.
So how cool was he?
Hey, I'll tell you what, he's a real gentleman. He's fun to watch on stage. I think his voice is still amazing.
I mean, this guy's like 70 years old.
Yeah, and it's just a really fun time, and it's really cool because he has all his guys that's played with him for years and years still with him, which is amazing. And he was just really kind and very excited to do that for us, and I think that was really amazing.
He was. There's a couple of guys in the band that I think may be deceased and nobody's told them. I'm just saying. They're kind of... There's a couple of them that look like that... Rigor mortis has set in maybe at least a year ago.
Now, won't you feel bad? What if he listened to our show and you said that?
I think we're okay.
Oh, you did?
I don't think he's going to be listening.
No.
But they were very nice. They're all super nice. I'm just saying that, you know, you probably shouldn't be playing bass when you're 137 years old. That's all I'm saying.
Stop it. They're not that old. They rocked out just like the young guys did.
All right, so let's get started on this first story. I'm not going to tell you what the story is. I'm going to tell you the story, but I'm not going to tell you what it's about. We'll get to it because it'll be better that way. So we're going to start off. This story is in Huntsville, Alabama. So three Alabama stories in a row.
Oh, yay. that's right.
Huntsville, Alabama, there's a cemetery called the Maple Hill Cemetery. We're going to talk about the cemetery, get into that a little bit, but the cemetery is not the focal point of the story, mm-hmm. believe it or not. So here's some a little bit of the background on Maple Hill in Alabama. It's the largest cemetery in Alabama, first of all. There's over 80,000
no.
burials there.
How is that possible?
I just said it was the largest one in Alabama.
I know, but that's a lot of daggone people.
Well, they're probably stacking them on top of each other.
Oh.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
Well, no, I mean, I guess you have to. That just sounds like...
There's no sense in going 6 feet down all the time. That's just crazy talk.
Oh, that sounds like a lot.
I don't know why to go 6 feet down anyway. That seems deep.
Well,
if you went out like with a spoon and stuff and was digging in the backyard, what's the most you're going to dig? A foot?
Okay, well, nobody's going to dig with a spoon. I mean, unless you're 4 years old.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. I wasn't talking about adults running out there with spoons. I'm just saying,
well,
kids come to the cemetery, maybe they're just sitting around bored or something, and start digging up stuff with spoons. I don't know what goes on at cemeteries.
You need to try
kids.
To come up with something better, because that is not working for me.
Anyways, I just think 6 feet's a little too deep. I think they could probably go four feet
I'm sure they do it because of maybe flooding or something. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Maybe if it's as deep.
What we needed to do was get a funeral director on the phone.
Oh.
But we didn't do
Lyle.
That.
Lyle. Does he know?
No, probably not. Oh. He may, though. Anyways, so the original cemetery was actually sold to the city from a guy named Leroy Pope in 1822. So he owned that plot of land, mm-hmm. and he sold it to him. And it's must have been used as a cemetery before that, because he sold it to him in 1822. But the oldest burial there actually goes back to 1820. It was an infant by the name of Mary Frances Atwood.
Aww.
So, it was 2 years before that. So, somebody there, at least that person, was buried on there before that.
Yeah.
It was later actually expanded and included the Pope family private cemetery that they had. So, he must have sold them some more land, or at least some of the Popes did. And most of the new burials at this time were actually Confederate and Union soldiers from the Civil War. So, over the years, the cemetery actually grew bigger by them purchasing surrounding land uh-huh. around it. In 1901, the cemetery actually got its official name of Maple Hill. Before that, it was known as just the Burial Ground.
Well, I like Maple Hill a whole lot better.
Still ever-growing, the cemetery needed more space, and in 2007, it actually tried to purchase and take over a little park that's next to the cemetery. The official name of the park was Maple Hill Park. Some call it Drost Park. Most call it the Dead Children's Playground.
Oh, wow.
That's
not inviting.
Is the focus of our story
oh,
today.
Oh, the playground is?
Yes.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
So the city actually removed all the swings and the slides that were there, and the locals threw a big fit.
Mm-hmm.
They
well,
didn't
I mean,
like
I'm
it.
Sure.
They loved their dead children's playground. And we'll get into more why, a little bit why. But the outlash was actually so much that the city replaced the playground equipment with brand new equipment. So they went from, we're going to take over the park and take all the stuff,
yeah.
to they replaced it and made it nicer and put brand new equipment in there.
Mm.
Now, what?
That's confusing. I mean, did they think if they put new playground stuff in there, it was going to make the ghosts go away?
No, I guess because they already pulled. I mean, that wasn't why they were getting rid of it. They needed the space to put more dead bodies.
Oh.
So they were trying to use it to expand a cemetery.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I missed it.
That's all right. I love you.
I love you.
So... I guess the first question would be, why is there a playground next to the cemetery?
Yeah.
Kids get bored, and people assume that the thought process was, you're at this giant cemetery, there's all these old stones and stuff, and if you're like a 4 or 5 year old kid, you don't have a concept of death.
Right.
And you don't know that those are dead people underneath of you, you just know there's a bunch of cool looking rocks.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know,
true.
So...
Yeah.
There's a playground right there, so the kids could actually, while their service was going on or a funeral was going on, that the kids could actually go over and play at the playground and not be involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thought process on why it was put there, mm-hmm. from my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real reason behind it, but that's what the people who live there think that the reason was
yeah.
there.
Yeah, I mean, so, I can all see that. I can see that.
Some people actually will tell you that it's... actually part of the cemetery. Like you'll read stuff that says it's like smack dab in the middle of the cemetery. It's
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not part of the cemetery. That's why the cemetery was trying to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
If it was part of the cemetery, it would have just, you know, consumed it if they wanted to.
Yeah, of course.
But no, it's at the end of the cemetery adjacent. There's a road you can get to it without having to, you know, actually go into the cemetery at all. Yeah, so it's not, it's on the outskirts of the cemetery. Now, all the kids that play at this playground, though, are not alive, we'll say.
Oh.
This playground is a hot spot for paranormal activity. Now, most say from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m., the dead children actually reclaimed the park from the living, and now it's their park. So that kind of town.
That's okay.
So over the years, many curious people have actually made the trek down that long, dark road we was telling you about to the dead children's playground, and they actually are hoping, like we did last night, to experience some type of paranormal activity. And several people over the years have experienced some stuff.
Well,
so,
good. That's good.
Yep. So visitors have actually experienced a high level of ghostly activity at the park, especially at nighttime, as we talked about from those times. Even people who have no idea that the park's history or know anything about it being haunted, they said that when they get there, there's just an eeriness that comes over you. Just something just doesn't sit right about that. So some of the experiences that people have actually had there is they hear the sights and sounds of children playing, which you would expect. Children calling out to each other, but they also hear mothers calling out for their children. So I don't know where the mother sounds come from, unless it's just mothers who's passed on and maybe you lost kids. They also hear the sound of running children, you know, like a playground. Aww. So the consensus is that most of the children come from the adjacent cemetery right next door. That would make sense, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With so many people buried there, you would think that would be the number one choice. But there actually is another theory. The story may actually be a little bit urban legend mixed in, but there's definitely a lot of truth mixed into the story. So between 1945 and 55, I'm going to give you some background on where the park sits. Between 45 and 1955, the area that the playground is right now was a limestone quarry.
Oh, okay.
And so it's got like these high cliffs that surround the park, and those aren't naturally made. That's just from the process of digging out the quarry. It's basically, I guess it's sitting in a hole is what it boils down to.
Sitting in a hole.
And they're just snoring back there.
I know it. Sorry, guys.
So when the quarry was actually closed, the grass kind of started to grow back. Trees started to grow back. A bunch of weeds. Wildlife actually started returning.
That was so beautiful.
Right. But in a matter of years, the thing was overrun with weeds and brush and tall grass. Yeah, so it was just
sad.
It was a mess. And in the 1960s, there was an unknown person who used this area kind of as their personal dumping ground for abducted children.
No way.
So there was a series of children back then that just disappeared. And all this was in the Huntsville area, right? So all these reports are coming up about these missing kids, and none of these kids were turning up. So it was obviously feared that there was some type of a child murderer or something in the area that was kind of loose in Huntsville. Unfortunately, that fear became a reality when somebody walking through the abandoned quarry actually found a small skull. Police were called in. Several small skeletons were then found, along with some small corpses from fresher murders.
Oh my gosh.
They never found out the identity of the murderer. But what they did determine is that these kids were tortured and killed. They showed signs of being held captive for a very long time. They had been starved to death. They were partially healed wounds on that were found on some of the bodies that were more recent, where they could actually see that. Once they discovered the bodies, the disappearances stopped. Many of the children were buried right next door at Maple Hill.
Yeah.
In 1985, 20 years later, after all this happened, the quarry and the surrounding land was turned into a park. So,
what kind of sicko does that stuff? How could you do that?
I don't know. There's plenty of them out there, and there's been proof of several of them.
That breaks my heart.
Somebody who has some kind of mental issues like that, they don't think normal. So there's no way to even rationally try
to...
Well,
they would do that.
But,
well, I mean, it's such a sad story, but I'm glad that the kids were playing together. You know?
So
if you gotta find some happiness out of that somewhere.
So the question is, who are you hearing at the park? Is it... I mean, theoretically, a lot of those kids were buried over next door.
Yeah.
So the first assumption is still right. It's still a lot of kids over there. But are you only hearing the kids that were dumped there? Or are you hearing a mixture of kids from the cemetery that had nothing to do with that?
I bet you are. I bet it's a mixture of kids. I mean,
and when you think about the parents, they said there was voices of parents calling out for their kids. That would seem probably to indicate, like, the kids that were abducted and their parents may be out looking for them.
Oh, my God, maybe that's heart-wrenching.
You know. But,
well, I hope the poor babies, I hope they played together with each other and they're in a better place and happy. And this is terrible. It's terrible.
It's horrible. With that being said, let's try to win a voicemail from Bo.
Oh, my God.
Is that not a good transition?
No. I'm still hurting.
I understand. These kids died 50 years ago, so there's nothing we can do about it now.
I know.
All right. So... I'm gonna play this little clip. This clip it will give you the entire answer to what the number one rule of the trailer is. The whole entire answer. And when you hear it, feel free to send a message on Twitter, Hillbilly Horror Show or Hillbilly Horror Story on Twitter. You can send it to Hillbilly Horror Show.
Don't you think Twitter is a funny word?
It's fantastic.
I mean, just think about Twitter. This thing, I don't think it's funny. I just think it's funny.
It's hilarious.
I'm in Twitter. Let me Twitter you.
Please don't. Last time we did the voices, we got nasty reviews about how we're insensitive to people.
Oh.
I don't know how that would be, but somebody will.
Oh, well, daggone, we got Twitter over here.
I'm sorry to all of our British listeners.
Oh, I love you guys. I wish you would just call and talk to me like every day. Like, seriously, I love y'all's accents.
All right, so let's listen real quick to Bo tell us what the number one rule of the trailer is.
That door at least 100 times, now it won't even open.
Little darling, what is the number one rule of the trailer? Come on, you know this.
If it ain't brown, you ain't got to put the toilet seat down.
That is rule number two. Come on, you can win a used toaster oven.
If you got a cold beer in hand, you ain't got room for no tools.
Bingo.
All right, so the answer is, in case you missed it, if you've got a cold beer in hand, you ain't got room for no tools. So that's
typical saying. I kind of dig that a little bit.
That is the number one rule of the trailer.
Yeah, well.
In the South, we all know that.
Well, that's very true. That is very true.
So we've got the second story. The second story is going to be very disturbing.
Oh, man.
I know, we get a lot of that recently. But... it's like I said, it's a story I've just recently come accustomed to, so it's not the most popular story out there, but I found it very fascinating. And then, as usual, I dug a little bit deeper, and we're going to tell you the story that's out there, and then I'm going to tell you some discrepancies that have just recently come about in this. So we're going to talk about Hickory Hill.
I was going to say Dickory Dock.
I knew you were going to. The Hickory Hill Mansion actually overlooks Saline River in Harrisburg, Illinois. You know why they call it Saline River?
Because it's salty?
It absolutely... Ooh. There's salt mines all through there, so it probably is. But I know there's salt mines all around there, so I'm sure that's where they get the name.
Oh, cool.
So the Hickory Hill Mansion was actually built in 1834, but it took all the way to 1838 to get it completely built. It sits on top of Hickory Hill, thus the name. And Hickory Hill in Harrisburg, Illinois is actually at the very bottom tip, southernmost bottom tip of Illinois, near the town of Equality, which will be very ironic considering how the story goes. Hickory Hill was designed to be the dream home of John Crenshaw. Okay?
John Crenshaw? Who's that?
The guy that built this mansion. So his wife, Senya Taylor, and their five kids... We're also living in this house.
Why isn't her name Crenshaw?
I think Senya Taylor was her first and middle name.
Oh, okay.
I'm assuming it was Crenshaw since I said his wife.
I know, but you didn't say that.
Well, maybe she was just a liberal and decided that she was going to do her own thing and didn't want to take his last name.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, and I forgot to tell you that this house was built with an evil purpose in mind.
What the heck?
Well, he wanted to house illegal slaves and establish a breeding program.
Okay, well, that's not cool.
No, and... Slaves were illegal in Illinois at the time. This was not a state where that was legal even at that time.
Well, it should have been illegal everywhere from the beginning of this earth.
Agreed. Not the point of the story, though.
I know.
And the problem, obviously, was, you know, this is during a time where you had freed slaves. This was after the time. But you had the Underground Railroad, as we know, to where people were actually hiding slaves and getting on the up north where they could be free. And that's kind of what Illinois was, one of those places where there were no slaves, so that would have been a place where people would have went. But he actually established like a reverse Underground Railroad, and that's what we're going to get into. So the house itself was actually beautiful. It was a pseudo-Greek revival-style house, which you know what that is? No, no. I expect you to learn more about your architecture before you step into the next podcast.
I know, I need to, seriously.
So I'll tell you, I'll describe it to you and you'll have an idea.
Okay.
The upper and lower, it had upper and lower verandas. You know what a veranda is, like the big roof that goes all the way around.
Yeah.
So it had upper and lower verandas with huge white columns.
Oh,
so
okay.
The first floor had columns and the second floor had columns. Uh-huh. So pretty cool. The first two floors actually had six rooms each, and that's where the Crenshaws enjoyed their luxurious life.
Okay.
They had a lot of money. They were actually looked at as model citizens in the community. The third floor, on the other hand, is the attic. And it had 12 tiny little rooms, not much bigger than horse stalls.
Oh, wow.
It had thickened walls. It had a hall with two whipping posts. Some people actually call this the Crenshaw Mansion. Some people called it Hickory Hills. But most people know it as the Old Slave House.
Aww.
I want to talk a little more about upstairs. So we had said they had to look like the 12 rooms. Now, eventually, at one point in time, these were even smaller. So, like, what they had found later was what it is now. But there was proof that they had actually taken out some of the walls. So there probably was even less room.
Wow. I just had them in there.
Yeah, I mean, there was absolutely no light except for at the two ends.
Yeah, I was gonna say
at the two ends of the place there was windows. So that was the only light that came in there, and then it was like hot in there all the time. So there was no circulation. I mean, you can imagine how hot an attic is. Anyway, you're on the third floor, and then you've got two windows open. That was the only way that you could get air in there, and so. That's the kind of conditions they lived in, and we're going to get into that a little more. Let's talk about John Crenshaw first so you can get a little idea of who we're dealing with. John Crenshaw actually got his start running a salt refinery that his dad started.
Mm-hmm.
His dad actually died when John was a teenager, and by 1834, he was a very rich man. He now had, you know, some money to invest, and he was able to lease several salt mines from the government. And he applied at that time to be an authorized person to lease slaves from their owners. I know this isn't going to make a lot of sense, but at this time there was actually an established law that was back in Illinois from 1817.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that the law was put in place is because there was a lot of employers that had trouble getting people. There just wouldn't enough people for the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So this law enabled them to contact people from other states that were able to legally own slaves at the time. And they were able to pay the owners for the use of their slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you had to, you know, this, like I said, this was 1834. That law had been on the books for 17 years and by this time was probably outdated.
Yeah.
But because the salt mines were, it was very hard to get workers. They were able to use that. So he got authorized, and he was able to contact slave owners and basically pay them for the use of their slaves. So that's what we had here.
I wonder what his daddy thought about that.
Well, his dad was dead.
Remember, I mean, what that. He would... I know that, but I'm saying what no he idea. Would think of that.
I have no idea. But John Crenshaw, being the ever-cunning businessman, as at least he thought he was, he thought, why spend money on leasing slaves when you could just kidnap freed blacks that were already in Illinois?
Mm-hmm.
Better yet, why not just breed your own slaves and sell them in the South for big money?
What a jerk.
And that's what he did. With this thought process, he had a carriage was actually built to enter directly into his mansion. So he built a place where carriages could pull up, according to the story, and unload slaves straight into the house without anybody ever seeing it. So the carriage, instead of just stopping outside like most, would actually go into the house.
Oh, wow.
So you could drive straight into it.
Okay, but now people must have thought that was weird.
Well, I mean, he's up on a hill. How many people were seeing this house?
I guess that's true.
So that's what he had done. By 1838, the house was actually finished. The carriage full of kidnapped victims could be actually driven straight into the mansion and secretly taken up the back stairway straight to the infamous third floor. So this floor was a place of imprisonment, suffering, rape, birth, and death. Mm. It's said that at least 300 babies were produced from one stud slave alone.
What is he, the Sperminator?
Nice. Nice.
Thank you. That's ridiculous.
Well, and keep in mind, because when I originally read this, I thought, that just, you know, how in the world are all these babies being born there? And there's only 12 places.
Yeah.
But that's not really what it was. And let me read the rest of this, and you'll see the conclusion I came to. But the pregnant slaves, or women who already had kids, brought a higher price in the slave states.
Oh.
So the reality of it was, he could have 12 women in there, and he could have this guy impregnate all of them, which could literally happen over a week period, or in my case, several years. But this could happen. I mean, if he was just doing nothing but, you know, trying to impregnate these girls with this one stud, basically, as soon as they were pregnant, he could ship them off and get in 12 more. So you didn't have to wait. You know, there's no 9 months of waiting till a baby's born. So he basically was just getting these people pregnant. As soon as they found out they were pregnant, selling them, getting a new crop. So I guess over the years, you could do 300 a lot more realistically than what I was thinking of, you know, having to wait 9 months and all that. So,
well, I mean, can I assume that even though he's a man, he had to be tired of doing that duty?
Well, I'm sure.
Jeez.
I'm sure. So in this location, slaves were actually shackled to the floor of their stalls. Obviously, we talked about earlier, ventilation was poor. There was virtually no light. These slaves had a horrible existence. They were tortured, they were barely fed, and they were humiliated. John Crenshaw found it convenient that also that the Saline River was right behind his house, because he could put his precious cargo on a boat and just ship it immediately, literally right behind his house. So there was really not a lot. Keep in mind, what he was doing was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So he was taking every precaution, according to the story, to make sure that all this stuff stayed hidden. In 1842, John was actually arrested for selling a family of freed blacks into slavery. It was a woman and her four kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the family supposedly owed him some kind of services, couldn't pay him back, so he just decided, I'll just sell them. And that's what he was doing. And as you would think would happen, because of his wealth and political standing, he was found not guilty. But the community wasn't so forgiving as the government was. His mill, he had a sawmill that was actually burned down, and the public turned completely against him.
Good.
Nobody found out, though, what was going on in his attic until after John and his wife both died. He died in 1871. She died in 1881. So John Crenshaw's considered to be the most evil man to ever live in Illinois because of what he's done. Now, what he did to make money was the largest scandal in Illinois. John Crenshaw somewhat was a victim of karma, though, because after his sawmill was burned down, he had a steady decline over the next few years of his income. Because keep in mind, he was big, rich, and everything, at least he thought he was. So all this money started dwindling down. He had several civil court actions put against him. The salt mines were actually found in Virginia and Ohio, and they actually were better salt than what they had in Ohio. So nobody was buying the salt from Ohio, which is where he had most of his money invested. And on a humorous note, he was actually attacked by one of his slaves and lost a leg due to his actions.
Good for him. Lose both legs.
I said on a humorous note. It was as humorous as the leg bone.
Ah.
I thought it was funny. Anyway, the story goes.
I'm sorry, I was slow.
The story goes that he was beating a woman out in the fields, and an angry slave grabbed an axe and chopped his leg off.
Ha ha.
That's what I say. So after most of the slaves were actually just sold off. Mm-hmm. So I guess he was like, I can't afford to be losing limbs. I need to get rid of all these slaves.
Yeah.
During the Civil War, he actually sold Hickory Hill and moved to a farmhouse closer to Equality. He continued farming, but also got into lumber, railroads, and banks. He died December 4th, 1871, and was buried in the Hickory Hill Cemetery. It's unclear if he rests in peace, but many of the former hostages that he actually have obviously do not rest in peace.
Yeah, I'm sure not. I wonder where he died from.
I don't know. I think his heart stopped. It's my guess.
That's always your guess.
Right. Well, that's usually right. In 1906, Hickory Hill was actually purchased by the Sisk family from a descendant of John Crenshaw. So I guess Crenshaw's family had it for a while. They sold it to the Sisk, and the Sisk actually owned it for, it seemed like forever, up until like the late 90s. We'll get into the actual time here in a little bit. But it was already a place with a horrible history, but it would actually soon become even more widely known. The locals already knew the place as the old slave house. So that's, you know, what it was. And in the 1920s, the Sisk began to actually have visitors just show up at all hours asking for tours. They had actually, they would be like at a restaurant, and the waitress would mention it, so then people would be like, hey, that seems cool. So these people just started showing up from word of mouth around town. If they came to town for something, everybody's like, oh, the old slave house, and it would become
Did they know that?
I'm sure they did, but it just wasn't something that was a big deal to them. But now that they started getting people to show up, they started thinking, hey, we can make money off of this.
Of course.
So they
money
started
grubbers.
They started advertising it, and in 1930, they actually started charging admission. For a dime, you could actually visit the place where slavery existed in Illinois, because that was something that didn't happen. And that's what the road sign actually said. There was a road sign that had the old slave house that you could come visit. Now, shortly after it became, a tourist attraction, visitors started reporting strange things happening in the place. They complained of odd noises in the attic. Noises that sounded like cries or whimpers, moans, or even chains rattling. People reported very uncomfortable feelings in the slave quarters, like a sensation of intense fear, sadness, or a feeling some unseen figures brush against you. Now, there were also reports of cold chills, being touched by an invisible hand, and a woman in white. I'm just kidding. There was no woman in white this time.
I was going to say, are you serious?
Yeah, there wasn't a woman in white this one. It just sounded odd not saying it.
I know.
So the rumors of the hauntings actually brought even more tourists to the house. You would think in some cases it might deter people, but no, it brought more people to the house. So there's another legend that soon began to be associated with Hickory Hill. The most famous was that no one could spend the entire night in the attic. So that story started because of an incident involving a ghost chaser from Benton, Illinois, by the name of Hickman Whittington. What a name. So he actually planned to put the ghost to rest. That was what he thought he was going to do, was come in there and abolish the ghost. Now, years passed, and despite many people attempting to spend the entire night, eventually they stopped doing it, with nobody ever able to do it. They did it because there was a small fire that ended up happening up there because somebody overturned a lantern.
Oh.
So they figured it was too risky, so they decided not to do it.
Yeah, probably a good choice.
Now, Mr. Sisk did actually rent it out one last time in 1978, and he allowed a reporter from the Harrisburg to actually come in by the name of David Rogers and spend the night in the attic as a Halloween stunt. Now, he managed to beat approximately 150 previous challengers and become the first person to ever spend the entire night in over a century in the slave quarters.
Oh, wow. Good for him.
Now, Rogers admits that he felt very queasy, and he said that from the minute he walked in the house, he just felt very uneasy, and he said that his experience in the attic was anything but mundane. He said he heard many sounds that he couldn't identify, and he also discovered a bunch of voices and stuff on some recordings that he took that he didn't hear at the time, but when he went back and played the recordings, he could hear them.
Oh, that's a nice surprise.
Yeah. So stories from basically visitors and curiosity seekers have been told over the years. The old slave house has been a frequent stopping point for paranormal investigators, psychic investigators, and just about anybody interested in the supernatural. In 1996, Hickory was actually closed down due to the declining health of Mr. and Miss Sisk. In 1999, it was purchased by the state, and there are plans to make it a historic site. There were actually some, they wanted to actually make it into a museum, but because of the fact that there's museums closing down all over the place, and it was going to take about $7 million to turn it into a museum, they just can't really justify spending that kind of money when there's museums shutting down that don't have the money.
Right.
Well, open a new one. But let's talk a little more about the hauntings, because that's what most people seem to be interested in. So because of the cruelty and the great suffering that actually went on in the attic, there are many angry spirits that live there.
Oh, God, I'm sure.
And they're not too fond of living people, apparently, either. So they supposedly keep a close eye on the people who lived on the first and second floors, and they do their best to chase the living out of the attic any chance that they can.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the case of 150 people not being able to spend the night tells you that. And we're going to have some cool stories about some of those events. But during the day, tourists have actually felt a growing chill as they're climbing the steps to get to the attic. And then in 1966, this is like my favorite story on here, two Vietnam Marines decided they were going to spend the night.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, this is before they actually stopped doing the tours, but they decided they were going to spend the night. At 1 a.m., their kerosene lamp started to flicker. That was the only light they had was that lamp. There was a terrible moan that like reverberated all over the room and shook the attic walls.
Oh my gosh.
Then they could hear several voices all talking at like the same time, but they couldn't make out
what they were saying.
Yeah, they couldn't make out what they were saying, but they said there were so many of them you couldn't even begin to tell how many there was. They said then there was these ghostly figures that started swirling around them. And the only light they had, obviously, was the kerosene lamp. It suddenly blew out. Then they heard a blood-curdling scream, and it rang out all around them. They said you couldn't tell where it was coming from. They were so filled with panic and fright that they flew down the stairs and just left.
Dang, and they didn't hold each other to protect each other?
I don't know that they did or not. I'm guessing no.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be doing that either. They are still Marines. Yeah.
Now, the Sisk family, who actually owned the mansion for basically 80 years, it was in their family, they lived on the first and second floor, like we said, and they ran a little museum there for the longest time. But they stayed on the first floor, and they never went to the attic at all.
Oh, wow.
They said they respected the entities that were there. Mr. Sisk reported cold spots, or Mrs. Sisk, I mean, she reported cold spots, even on very hot days. Mm-hmm. She said that an icy chill would fill an entire room, and they had no AC.
Oh, wow. Well, that's kind of a good thing.
Right.
You got to look at the positives.
But she said she had to quit taking baths because she would be in the bathtub and she would hear an unseen presence would call out her name, and then she would run out to the hallway and there would never be anybody there. So she quit taking baths. And she said that her husband felt like, you know, between the two of them, that they were constantly being watched. So they learned to deal with the entities, and they said that the entities learned to deal with them. And there was basically no harm ever done. It was just some weird feelings, but that's the way they did it.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're going to end on this. We talked about Hickman Withington. He was, you know, a little earlier on there. He was the guy that was going to come in there and chase him out. He was an exorcist, or at least he claimed to be. He went to the attic to chase off the entities, and after a short time, he ran from the mansion and died of fright a few hours later.
What? Can you die of fright?
Yeah, you can die of fright.
Oh, wow.
There's like, I read something like there's like 10 people who die of fright every year in the United States.
Oh, my gosh.
So, is it possible that what he saw was the same thing that the Marines saw?
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's pretty wicked.
Now, I told you I was going to tell you some other aspects of the story. I'm not going to get into a ton of details on this, but they're wanting to turn this into a museum. Now, if you're going to use if it's something's going to be a museum and a historic site, they want to make sure that the facts are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
So they've went back and they've hired some people from Southern Illinois University. You got a gentleman by the name of Mr. Wagner, who is, I guess, a professor, archaeologist, and all this stuff. And he's been in there doing an archaeological dig, and they've uncovered stuff like their outhouse and all this stuff. And
that would be cool to find.
Yeah, well,
they're
talking about like their outhouse. Like, this guy took his outhouse seriously. Like, it was a block. Most people had just a hole in the ground, more or less. And, you know, this guy had a block foundation around it. He had a mirror hanging on the wall. And so he was pretty top-notch. But what we're finding out is we know for a fact through the history, through this guy, that he definitely owned slaves. We know for a fact that he sold slaves, and he had many different court appearances over this. So he was still a jerk. There's no ifs, ands about this. But he seems to think, from what they're uncovering, that the slave quarters upstairs maybe wasn't a slave quarters. He doesn't have any sign. He said the carriage, we talked about the carriage being built to be able to go inside the house. He said that's not the case. He said when you look at it, it's designed to go back there and actually designed to show off the fancy carriages that would be pulling up. So you would definitely be able to see the carriages the way it's set up.
I just thought that was kind of weird.
Not going into a house. Well, I mean, if that's what they were doing, trying to keep something secret, that would make sense. But he says that's not the way it was set up from what he's seeing. He's also saying that, like we said, out in the hallway, there was two whipping posts. But he says, like, one of the things that's on display that says it's a whipping post isn't a whipping post. He said it's actually like a tool that you would make shingles with that's laying on its side. So it's not a whipping post.
Oh, my gosh.
He also says that the rooms upstairs, though they are the tiny rooms and they are up there, he thinks that they are more made for indentured servants, which would be sort of like slaves, but an indentured servant would be somebody, let's say that I told you, hey, I will come work for you, like Mr. Belvedere. I will come work for you for 6 months and do basically whatever you tell me, and at the end of the 6 months, you're either going to give me a piece of land or some money or something like that. So you would sign a contract stating that you agree to do that, but you would initiate that. Nobody's making you do it like a slave situation. But that would be an indentured servant. And he seems to think that those quarters up there were made for people to spend the night if they were in helping to work in the mines. And then he said white or black. He doesn't necessarily think that it was strictly slaves or torture or anything. So there's no real proof, according to this guy, that there was anybody tortured or being kept up there against their will. He's not saying they haven't been. He can't say that there's nobody been held against their will.
I sure hope not.
But he doesn't think that the stories that are out there about all the torturing and stuff like that and the breeding, and he doesn't believe those to be the case. He thinks it was just basically sleeping quarters for people that were in town to try to help out work, and he was just giving them a place to stay, or indentured servants that he was hooking up in other places.
Yeah. So, well, I hope that his story is the right story.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, he seems to be pretty confident that that's the case. And to open a museum, he wants to make sure nothing's said that's
not true.
False.
Yeah.
So, especially a state-run museum.
Of course,
if it's not a, if it's not a state-run museum, if it's Ripley's, you know, they don't care if it's true or not true.
They don't?
No.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure most of that stuff in Ripley's isn't all true. So, anyways, that's the stories we got for you guys. It's been a super fun week. Remember to send your answers to Hillbilly Horror Show or Hillbilly Horror Stories on Twitter for the contest that you might want to win Bo's personalized voicemail.
Yep. Sounds great.
And we didn't mention it before. We added, this is pretty big, for those of you who want to go on the Waverly Tour April 28th, in Louisville. The live show still has some tickets left, not a ton, but that still has tickets. But we had a 7:30 tour Waverly that sold out really quick. We've added a 9:30 tour that night. Tracy and I are going on the tour. I'm not sure if the other two shows are going to be able to stay that late to go on the other tour. It's possible they will. But if you want to still go to Waverly and you missed out, just go on the website, The Real Waverly Hills. .com and go for the 2-hour tour at the 9:30 p.m. on Saturday, April 28th. And there's already been 10 tickets sold. There were only 50 available. So there are some spots now. So if you want to go, come to the live show and then to hit the 9:30 the same night, and it's going to be fun.
Dang, I got to go through twice?
You got to go through twice.
Oh.
So that's what we got. Also, remember, if you want to buy your Hillbilly Horror Story merchandise, we've got all the new logos and stuff. HillbillyHorrorStories.com. Go to the store and purchase whatever you want.
Yeah, it'd be great. And thank you guys again for your support.
Now, I told you that we talked to Jackie and her friend Wendy the other day, and we're going to throw that right here, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Love y'all.
Hey guys, we got a special treat for you this week because we had some special visitors. We had Jackie Getz come down and her friend Wendy. Wendy, what's your last name?
Mogensen.
Okay, I'll pretend I didn't hear that. I could definitely pretend I can't spell it. They came down all the way from Wisconsin. What did you guys drive? Like 8 hours?
About, yeah.
8 hours basically just to come down here and eat dinner with us with some horrible spaghetti. I'm just kidding.
It was not horrible. It was wonderful.
You haven't even ate it yet.
It was really good.
Well, I didn't mean horrible in the sense of like you cooked it bad. I just meant it's probably not worth 8 hours of driving for.
It absolutely was.
Yes, it was.
Well, I would agree with him on that. So. That one was good.
I meant more or less like plain spaghetti, not like, you know, something that, you know, Gordon Ramsay made.
Yeah.
So.
But we do appreciate it, and we're so excited you guys are here. Oh,
we're excited to be here. Yeah.
Yes, it's awesome.
And tomorrow, they're spending the night, and tomorrow we're going to go to Bobby Mackey's.
Yay!
Now, originally we did this because Jackie was not going to be able to come to the Waverly because the Waverly tour was sold out. And so she said, hey, it's my birthday weekend. Let's set up a time. And can we come down there? And we said, hey, let's do it. Let's have some fun. So, Jackie, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Jackie appropriately came dressed in and that's why we drink shirt.
Which that's fine because we love those girls.
That's fine. I like to go shopping at Home Depot wearing a Lowe's shirt. So it's basically the same thing. But no, we love Christine and them, so that's
We sure do.
Like, as we've said 1,000 times, there's no competition in the podcast world. No. We're all one big happy family.
We are. Isn't that great?
Absolutely.
That's so wonderful.
So, Jackie, tell us a little bit about what you expect or hope to happen tomorrow night at Bobby Mackey's, because you've never been there before.
I'm excited just to, for one, being hanging out with you guys and just having fun.
Thank you.
It'd be pretty damn cool if we saw something or something freaky, like, touched us or
ooh.
I'm all about something
head.
Freaky touching me.
Yeah, I bet.
I think that was a hint towards you guys, so.
Oh, okay.
whatever it takes. I don't care. I'm easy. some people say, you know, they talk about the bar, raising the bar. My bar is like on the ground. I can just step right over top of it. I don't have much of a bar, except in wives. In wives, I have an extremely high bar.
Now, nice save there, babe. Nice save.
So, Wendy, you were telling us a little story earlier. You said you are a magnet for, what was it?
Ghosts and even evil spirits. They like to cling to me.
Oh, so that's awesome that we're taking you there tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
You're definitely.
Might be great for y'all.
I need you to trail about 8 steps behind.
Might be wise.
I'll have my camera out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Somebody needs to.
And Jackie, you've had a bunch of experiences. You've been on the personal stories episodes that we do for Patreon.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine that this...
They kind of follow me, too.
Yeah.
They like to hang out around me, so.
That's awesome, I guess. If they're
the,
nice.
The nicer ones usually hang around me. Yeah. Wendy attracts the weirdos.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we're friends, so I guess I don't know what that says.
Yeah, I started to say. So have Christine and Em invited you to their house for spaghetti?
No, I'm waiting.
I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to clarify that.
Of course, they're out in California, so.
Weather sure is a lot nicer, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's true. I wish we were out there.
I know, I was telling her it was 70 degrees yesterday.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was like spring out here yesterday.
Yeah, that quick it just changed.
We brought it down from Wisconsin. I'm
sorry. We're sharing our weather.
Yeah.
That's great. A bunch of cold weather and cheese. That's what we needed.
Yeah.
We didn't get no cheese.
Sorry.
Oh, we forgot. We failed.
We are cheese.
We'll take it.
Hey, you were telling us a story about a closet earlier.
Oh my goodness, yes. I do not like closets or open doors, open cabinets, because there's evil lurking all around. But when I think I was 11 or 12, and I was at a friend's house, and we were young kids, we were just messing around telling ghost stories, and everyone else had fallen asleep. And my friend's closet door never did shut. There was a door, but it never would shut. And they were all sleeping. All of a sudden, I saw red glowing eyes telling me, get out of my house. So I'm like freaking out and crying and screaming, waking all the other girls up, and they like think I'm crazy. They turn the lights on, and obviously there was nothing there when they turned the lights on, but there was something there.
Oh my gosh, I would have freaked out.
And I said, I want to call my mom, and they're like, no, it's like 1 a.m, we're not calling home, you girls need to go back to bed, like the parents are yelling at me, and I'm like, I just want to go home.
And then you were like, see, you didn't, go get them.
Yeah.
Go get those parents. Girls. Let me go home.
Yeah, what better time to make a sacrifice?
Sacrifice. Yeah.
Well, ladies, we just want to say thank you for coming down. It's fun. This is the first time we've been able to interact with listeners that aren't just like people in our family.
Aww. So, Did you have a story?
I could tell a story. It didn't really happen to me, but I was around when it happened.
Okay. Well, let's hear one of your stories.
My grandfather passed away in a pretty violent car accident when I was like 7. And that summer, we were going on a family vacation. I guess I got super sick from hay fever, and we came back, and we stayed at my grandparents' house. My grandma was gone, so it was just us in the house. We stayed upstairs. You know, it was the house that my dad kind of grew up in and stuff, but there was all this weird activity after my grandfather died. Mm-hmm. My aunt and uncle got married out there, and everybody's pictures had streaks running through them.
Any
pictures that were taken out at the farm had streaks running through them. I tried to ask my aunt about it, and she's like, I don't remember any of that.
She didn't remember that?
No, but it was really weird because it's really stuck in my head, and my mom actually had pictures for the longest time, like, hidden up in my closet in my bedroom with those streaks and stuff in it. It was really, really weird, but he was always around there. But anyway, we stayed overnight there, you know, to get me home, and my brother's a big sleepwalker. And that night he had gotten up and there was a huge crash and it woke everybody up. And he had gotten up and he had actually walked through a second story window out onto a porch roof.
Oh my gosh.
But the window was broken inwards.
Oh wow.
And when everybody woke up, he was back laying in the bed, and everybody thought for sure Grandpa was the one that saw him going towards that window, came through the window,
and
grabbed
him
and put him back in bed.
Wow.
So.
Oh, good Grandpa. That was awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, he followed me around for a very, very long time until my grandma passed, and now he's not around me anymore,
really?
And he's with her now.
Oh,
but
that's so nice to have that feeling that they, you know, that
but
they
he protected everybody. It was amazing.
What a great story.
Wow.
I love you, Grandpa.
That's amazing.
That's so sweet. Aww.
So,
wow, that's
actually crazy. I actually had a good ghost story there compared to some of my other ones.
That's really nice. And so, and then you said that when your grandmother passed away, then?
My grandmother passed away 3 years ago, and it is like within hours I didn't feel him around me anymore.
Wow.
It was like, it was really hard for me for about a year after that to not.
That had to be tough to get used
to.
But then you were like, oh, they're together.
They're together, and that's, yeah.
That's amazing. What an amazing story.
Oh, thank you.
I love that.
When I was little, we used to have a bunch of pictures with streaks in it. And then they'd said, put your clothes on, we're trying to take pictures. So, that's what I did.
And yes, they call him the street.
That's right.
Look at that. I know, wasn't that a great song? Don't worry, Stevens. He had a way with words, didn't he?
You never know what's going to happen on this show. With everything from Hee Haw and Andy Griffith to Ray Stevens.
That's some good stuff there now. That's what I'm talking about. When times were simpler and you didn't worry about half the crap you have to worry about today.
No doubt.
I mean, you know, when I watch
you still worried about crap back there. I hope the milkman comes. We're out of milk.
You know, when babies are running around naked all the time. Nowadays, you see a baby naked and everyone wants to call CPS on you.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
I never understood it. I remember when Kristen had her babies and we go to the hospital and they got all these naked pictures of babies all over the wall. Mm-hmm. And that's art. But if it's in my house, somebody's calling
then
the police.
It's pedophile. Yeah. And then you're a pedophile.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to touch that one.
So sad but true.
And you know, you get pictures of the babies in the bathtub, and everyone's like, well, make sure you have the washcloth covering. And I'm like,
oh, yes.
We gotta talk. Are you kidding me? We gotta stop all this talk. I'm starting to crave Subway.
Oh, no.
You're nasty.
All right, guys. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
They sure are so much fun to deal with. I'm so glad they came down. Thank you guys so much. You actually heard one of our brothers from the Dark Myth Collective, their podcast earlier, Secret Transmissions. Check those guys out. They're awesome. Here's another one I want you to check out. It's a little more different. It's not a paranormal podcast, but it's actually pretty cool, and this guy's an awesome guy. So check Zing out and his podcast, Zing This.
Are you a fan of movies?
Or comics?
Or video games?
Or just anything else nerdy?
Well, you should check out the Zing This podcast. And that's spelled
Z-E-N-G.
This. And you can find us every Monday. And we have nerdy topics from comic book reviews to in-depth analysis of iconic nerdy movies, as well as video game discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Where's some of the best places to find us, Allie?
Well, Podbean, of course.
You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play.
Anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Yeah.
So check us out. Once again, that is
Zing This.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.